Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
No police!
When Ham the astroturf said, no more space flights. Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
No police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's the poster child for no cloning.
Paul LaVoy!
All right, good morning, everybody. Hope you survived a busy, busy weekend. Welcome to Speak Out for Monday, October 25th, 2021, from beautiful Lake Havasu City on McCulloch Boulevard, of course, in Havasu. And Steve March Torme concert, well attended last night under the London Bridge. The mustache and beard contest, also well attended. Just saw the video sent over by Dan DeLosantos. I'm sure it's posted over on the Facebook page somewhere, one of his Facebook pages, who knows. And I have to congratulate the Havasu Fighting Knights Friday night, taking on a Deer Valley Skyhawks team. The Fighting Knights, of course, the road warriors of their conference right now, coming back home for three straight games, their final three, but they hung on to win. I think it was 28-6 at halftime, and Deer Valley figured something out and brought it back to 28-26, and then an interception late in the game by Isaac Stopke put a stop to all that. Stopke stopped the Skyhawks. There you go. So Havasu hangs on to win their fourth straight, and looking good right now. I don't want to jinx them. Definitely knock on wood as far as the state playoffs go. So last three coming up starting this week with Estrella Foothills, and that's at home here in Lake Havasu on Friday night. We'll have that on the sports station as well on 980 AM and KNTRSports.com. Speaking of which, Monday Night Football, the Saints at Seahawks. Starts at 4:30 over on 100.5 FM. I'm on 106.3 and 94.3 FM as well as 980 AM here in Lake Havasu City. That game does not stream on KNTRSports.com, by the way. So anyway, KNTR Sports, welcome to the team. A busy week of sports. We'll have that all for you tomorrow, although there are no games tomorrow. The action starts on Wednesday. It's pretty nonstop through the weekend. I got a special guest on the phone, as always, this time of the month. The fourth Monday? We've got District 3 County Supervisor and Supervisor's Chair, Buster Johnson. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good to be here.
It's good to be anywhere, right? I should mention, you know, we talked about this before the show, but no Jim Russell today. Believe it or not, he's working.
I know. That should save time because we don't have to repeat ourselves.
My question to you was, how much work can you really get out of Jim Russell? You know, I don't want to make it into ageism or anything like that, but from what I understand, he's driving, or helping with the teardown at the Kingman Street Drags. So, sounds like hard work to me, and Jim is not one to shy away from hard work. Can we just put it that way?
Okay, we can stop right there then.
We're kind of like writing fiction, right?
That's it.
All right, Buster, a lot going on during supervisors' meetings lately, especially if you tune in on the county's YouTube channel right at the beginning where there's call to the public. There's been, if people don't know or they haven't seen it, they probably maybe haven't seen it in the papers either, but there's been a lot going on, a call to the public, even name-calling. You want to set this up before I play a video by Matt Smith? That Matt Smith is in, rather?
It's gotten into, you know, it's embarrassing, you know, for the county, I mean, for the residents, for everybody, in my opinion. you have people coming up accusing people of bestiality, you know, flipping people off, calling people, and I use their term, you know, retards, you know, insulting staff with names. You know, these things never get your point across, you know. I mean, to me, it's kind of like grade school kids talking, you know, when they have to resort to that sort of language to try to prove a point or whatever, you know. I mean, just state what you want to state, you know, and if you have a good point, then there's not much somebody can say, you know. But once you get into, you know, these things that are just way out of bounds as far as I'm concerned, you know, I mean, they have a right to say whatever they're going to say, but I don't think they do themselves any favors. And it's just, like I said, I think it's embarrassing to the county as a whole to have that kind of, you know, people tune in and go, gee, that's what we have in Mojave County.
And the embarrassing part, just to make your point, that's to help your point, rather, is that one of the people that's the main complainers and the main users of, I wouldn't say it's profanity, it's more degrading language, and like you said, offensive language. She ran for state representative in 2018. Is that, I mean, really? Is that somebody that a few people actually voted for and actually considered sending to Phoenix to represent our congressional, our legislative district?
Yeah, you know, some people say they're just trying to get the board to react and then, you know, file a lawsuit, you know, because they like to file lawsuits, you know, and try to get some money, you know, free money. But I have no idea what their ultimate goal is because they don't really have any supporters.
Right, right. Well, I've got a clip here from the county's YouTube channel of Matt Smith. He came up before the last call to the public and address the board. I want to go to that, Buster, and then I'll come back to you for some comment, okay?
Sure.
All right.
But I'm here today to address some of the things that have happened that I've seen at recent board meetings. And I'm talking about people abusing this right, this privilege, and calling out certain people that are elected officials or department heads, calling them names, engaging in the use of offensive language, like calling our health director a retard. And that type of language is inappropriate. And I'm here today to appeal to the common sense and the civility of everyone here. One person in particular has continued to use the word retard while she is speaking to the board. And this is somebody who has a right to speak, and everyone here has a right to speak and to criticize our leaders. Criticize me if you want to. I've been here for 34 years as deputy county attorney and then the elected county attorney. So if you want to come after somebody, come after me. But let's leave our health director alone. If you want to criticize her, criticize any of us, you have the right to do that. But let's not make it a matter of profanity or vulgarity or name-calling. Talk about the job.
Buster, Matt Smith makes a great point there. And is he up there, you know, before call to the public because the county has no other recourse? Isn't there anything that can be done? Can you bang the gavel and say, security, remove this person? And then, you know, she's 86, and when she comes back, she's trespassed? Or is there nothing that can be done?
Well, the county attorney, from what I understand, was getting a lot of calls. He doesn't attend the meeting. He has an assistant deputy attorney that handles our meetings, you know, about the way things are being handled. So he came over to, you know, give his opinion and try to bring some civility to the meetings. Basically, you know, people have a right to say what they want to say, and, you know, I could gavel them down and take them out, but I think that's what they're looking for, you know, looking for the attention. And the majority of the board feels that everybody should be able to, you know, say whatever they want to say. And so it's just going to continue, I guess.
And you're not a big fan of call to the public anyway, are you?
No.
You've told us that in the past.
Go ahead. Yeah, I feel in this day and age, I mean, see, you know, people can call you on the phone, they can see you in the grocery store, they can text you, they can Facebook you. People don't have any problem getting a hold of their elected representatives if they have something that they legitimately think needs to be corrected. I mean, I get calls all the time from people with ideas, some good, some I can't do, you know. Mm-hmm. But the majority of the ones that are showing up are the same people over and over. It's right. Like if you walk down the street and ask people, hey, did you ever go to a supervisor's meeting and complain about something? I mean, 99% of the people will say, no, never even thought about it. You know, I just give them a call if I have a problem, you know. So it's the same people coming up, and now it's getting into, you know, the personal issues, which, like I said, doesn't do much good. We have people that get up and read us, you know, excerpts from the Constitution and give us history lessons on George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. And, you know, I explained to the board my feelings is it's a business meeting. We're there to conduct the county's business. Mm-hmm. If you're there and you've got an item on the agenda, say it's a rezone or we're putting in new fees that you have a problem with, you think they're too high or too low or don't go far enough, whatever, you've got to wait through all this, and by the time it's done, people are just shaking their heads like, what am I here for? This is like an insane asylum. So that's my feeling. But at the same time, I feel that I've never been one. We never used to have time limits on how long people could speak. We never had calls to the public before, but on regular items. And I've always felt, as a citizen of Mojave County or wherever you're from, if you want to come and address us on an issue, you can take all the time you want, you know, as long as you're not repeating yourself over and over and trying to filibuster or something.
Right.
But if you drive, say, from Colorado City or Mesquite or even from Havasu up there, that's 60 miles, you're feeling pretty strongly about an issue, and you ought to be able to have your time to speak and try to get it out, because not everybody's comfortable speaking in public, and, you know, we forget ourselves sometimes when we're talking because we get nervous. And, you know, I just think it's, you know, the people's right to come up, and if there's something they're strongly for or something they're strongly against, then they have a right to bring that idea out and, you know, give it to the board, and maybe it'll sway people. But I think it's just human nature. You're not going to sway too many people after you call them names.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Now, the cities, I know Bullhead City has a time limit. I think it's 3 minutes for individuals, 5 minutes for groups. Is that something that the county is doing, is not doing, or was doing in the past but no longer does?
Well, when I first got in, we had no time limits, but we didn't have a call to the public, and nobody ever had a problem with that. But we let people talk as long as they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, sometimes if they'd say, hey, excuse me, but I think you're repeating yourself, or if you had a big group that was speaking on one issue, obviously there's going to be times when, you know, you said what I wanted to say, but I still want to get up there. And, you know, we would say, you know, if you have something new, you know, you can bring it up, or you can just keep saying the same old thing, but it's not, you know, you're just delaying the process here. But we had no time limits before, and then the board has initiated this 3-minute limit for call of the public and for any item that we have.
Right. I have a friend who got, and he feels is an unfair ticket for loading in a non-loading zone or something, or I don't know what the particulars were, but he proved, you know, he had pictures in court and proved his case, and they still only reduced the fine by half, but he still had a fine. He said, what's my recourse? I said, call to the public. Go to the council, call to the public, see what they can do, you know?
Yeah.
That's a legitimate use of call to the public, is it not?
Oh, no, I think it brings things to somebody's attention, you know. But I think, you know, if somebody, say, from Bullhead or Havasu or any place, you know, even in Kingman's, you got to get out of your house and get dressed and drive down to the board to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have the availability just to call the people on the phone, you know, say with the city issue, you can call the mayor or call the council people and talk to them. And maybe if you're not getting the results you want or you think you're still being abused, you know, then, at least with me, that would be my last resort to go to call the public to hope to get somebody else in the community to say, you know, that person's right. This is wrong. We need to get together and show the council or the supervisors that what they're doing they need to reevaluate it and maybe come out with something. But that's the proper way to do it. But now I guess the whole country's kind of gotten crazy with name calling, so it'll probably continue.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Buster. I'm surprised some of the video that I've watched hasn't gone viral, and made Mojave County look like fools, you know, because it's just appalling video, if you know what I mean.
Well, and you know, cause I, at first, and then I just said, okay, well, fine, I'll move Call of the Public to the end because we'll get rid of our business and then we'll do Call of the Public at the end, you know, mm-hmm. because that's really, that has nothing to do with the business that people are there to conduct. But the board decided they wanted it at the beginning. But if you're to watch one of our meetings after Call of the Public, you've probably had enough and go, dang, I'm done with this, you know, and turn it off.
Right. And getting a comment that I think it's from Captain Obvious that Call to the Public allows you to talk to all supervisors and the manager at once. So, yeah, obviously, that's what we're talking about, right, Buster? Are you there? Buster, did I lose you? All right, we're going to go ahead and take a short break, reestablish the connection with County Supervisor Buster Johnson from District 3, and he's also the supervisor's chair. Our number, 854-KNTR, 928- 854-5687 if you want to talk to County Supervisor Buster Johnson. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
Ask him while he shined my shoes, how to keep from getting the blues. He grinned as he raised his little head. He popped his shoe shine rag and he said, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, a jumpy rhythm makes you feel so fine. It'll shake all your trouble from your worried mind. Get rhythm. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
All right, music by request from District 3 County Supervisor and Supervisor's Chair Buster Johnson. Great choice, as always, Buster.
I love Johnny.
You got the man in black, that's right.
Yep.
All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, Better Business Bureau. Dane O'Brien was spot on, assisting with credit card transactions for any size business. Call Thane at 928-706-2784 or send an email to tobryan@spoton.com. That's T. O'Brien with an E at spoton.com. And our newest sponsor, Kevin Barbarita and Barbarita Realty Consultants, with over 35 years in the Laughlin community. Located in the Laughlin Town Center on Needles Highway, visit their website at laughlinnevada.net. And we're back with District 3 County Supervisor Buster Johnson. We got a text message before we were cut off, and we got a call off the air, and the caller wanted me to deal with the question on the air. So we'll get to that topic in a second, but I'm not sure if there's a question in here, if it's just a statement, but Call to the Public allows you to talk to all supervisors and the manager at once. I'm not sure if we covered that or not, but is it something, and we did talk about it a little bit, should we keep it at the beginning of meetings or send it to the end of meetings? Is there a happy medium here?
I don't know. I guess if it's, you know, people's rights and the board wants to have it, you know, they can have it whenever they want it. You know, like I said, my disagreement is I think we're elected to handle county business, you know.
Right.
And when somebody says, oh, well, I get to talk to five board members and the county manager, that's not true, because Call the Public, we're not allowed to get into a discussion unless it's a personal attack and we want to respond. And so I think personally that, you know, and hopefully that all elected officials and the manager, if they receive a call or they're talking to people, they send an email or something, that they interact with that person. And a lot of times, you know, people just want to get something off their chest. And there's times when I say, yeah, you're just getting screwed. There's not much we can do about it, you know.
But, yeah.
And there's a lot of times, too, when you explain, say, well, you know, that's a state issue or a federal issue or, you know, because people don't, they get familiar with somebody and they think that, they can handle all their problems, and unfortunately they don't give me the power that that some people think we have, you know. And I, obviously I can't tell the mayor and the city council what to do on their issues, nor the state or the feds. I can call up and say, hey, I have a problem. And I have no problem if somebody calls me. We try not to, you know, kiss it off by saying, oh, that's a federal issue. We'll go to the go as far as to call the federal people or the state people or even the city council and say, hey, we have a person here that has a problem. Would you mind calling them? And I always have good response, and they always call the people and ask for a follow-up so that I know that if they got, you know, they called me for something, they at least got an answer, whether it was the answer they wanted or not. At least somebody talked to them on the issue.
Sure, and from what I understand from a number of your constituents, you're very good at that type of follow-up. Speaking of calls, we have one. Let's go to the phones. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
It seems to me like some of the words that are used by at least one person is slanderous. Couldn't it be addressed as being slanderous to use some of these adjectives describing people? It seems like that'd be a good avenue to go towards to limiting their ability to start jabbering. I'll listen off the air if they have a response. Thank you.
Thanks, Kenny. Kenny makes a great point, Buster. What do you say to that?
Well, he does. The slander with an elected official is pretty loose. You've really got to go out of your way to get a slander on an elected official. Now, when it comes to our department heads or anybody else, the laws are a lot stricter. But then it's an issue of that person having to hire an attorney, you know, to go to court, and you know, cost money, cost time, and you know, this person obviously has, you know, no job, nothing to tie them down, and every case they have, they do pro per themselves, you know. So, you know, if you're just a regular citizen, it's just going to cost you money. So you kind of hope they'll grow up and become adults, but that's just the way it is. I think you had the other call. A gentleman called about the census, wanting to know
what
the heck was taking so long. You know, I don't know. They used the COVID excuse for a long time. But we'll be having a presentation at this coming Monday's meeting on the census. Not much is going to change in Mojave County at all, because the population really hasn't grown. The only thing that might change, and we just got some numbers today on the justice courts, but we'll have to look at that and see what comes up. But I don't think you're going to see really any major changes, you know, a little bit in the congressional, but they always change because of the population growth and stuff in the Phoenix area. You know, we have to have a certain amount of people in our congressional districts, so we have to keep reaching out farther and farther to get those numbers. But hopefully this Monday we'll have a presentation from our, you know, consultant, because we always need a consultant. But, you know, especially nowadays, this is one time when I support having a consultant, because we have to meet so many federal requirements of not alienating anybody with a minority, you know, population, you know, or, you know, those affiliations. So, you know, as Mojave County has been under the gun years past, where the feds would oversee us because they thought we were doing things wrong, especially with divisions and elections and things like that. So it's good to have a consultant, the same one we used before, who has worked for the feds and can answer all those questions to their satisfaction, so that nobody takes a deeper dive into what we've done here.
Well, I'll tell you what, Buster, that caller is a very loyal listener. He's going to be really happy to know that there's a census presentation a week from today at the supervisors' meeting.
Now, it should be a good one.
Now, if I could get him to watch it, I don't think he has a computer or a cell phone. So, not sure how we're gonna make that one work, unless someone wants to drive him up to the supervisors' meeting. So, all right, let's go ahead. Go ahead, Buster.
I just think go to the library. Use one of our computers there.
That's a really good idea, and just log into YouTube, and you can go to the county channel from there, I believe, right?
Well, that, and we show it on the TV channels too, so.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Alright, let's go to the little big man, Johnny Paycheck. One of an old country classic for you, Don't Take Her, She's All I Got. I know you like that one. You probably paid to see Johnny Paycheck in concert at one time, right?
I've seen him a couple times.
Really? There you go. All right. I kind of figured. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul LaVoy. Speak Out will continue. Our number, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. We'll be right back.
She's my water. When I need a drink, she's the first thought in my mind each time I try to think. Let me tell you now, friend, don't take her, she's all I've got. Please don't take country roads, take me home to the place.
Had to play one there for former Speak Out host Roger Galloway. The line, West Virginia. He'll never, ever, ever let you forget about that, Buster.
No. And he can tie anything into West Virginia when you bring it up. So
especially with that song. Absolutely. Yep. A little John Denver from my childhood, anyway. Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, Connected Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, SamsGuns.com, Herb's Herbs, SunPower by SMA Electric, and by Bobby Lewis and the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty with his wife Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule. And Julie now a participant, a willing victim on the Real Estate Power Hour with Chad Hansen and Bobby Lewis, of course. So anyway, back on Speak Out, we've got Supervisor Buster Johnson from District 3, and he's also the supervisor's chair. And again, a meeting not today but a week from today in Kingman, the County Board of Supervisors meeting, and hopefully we'll have some civility. But we kind of beat the call to the public dog to death, so we'll kind of move on to the fairgrounds. There's a lot going on there, and the county has come to a decision as far as the fairgrounds go. Where are we at with that, Buster?
Well, I don't know if we've come to a decision, but we're taking it over as of January 1st. I think we're doing it haphazardly, but we'll see how it goes.
That was a nice way of putting it, by the way.
I mean, in my opinion, if you're going to do anything, you have a plan, and we don't seem to have a plan, at least a plan for the future. Because obviously the location now has been there for however long it's been there. The buildings and stuff are in deplorable shape and going to cost taxpayers, you know, millions of dollars to bring them up to decent shape. And then what do you have? You have a building that's been patched together. You know, there is interest on the board of moving the fairgrounds and building a new facility, you know, something that the public can be proud of, something that would bring more revenues back in, something that would give more events available to people here locally, you know, especially because we still have a community that values their rodeos, values their car racing, you know, their motorcycle racing, their BMX racing, you know, gun shows, those sorts of things, that we could have a facility that could, you know, really highlight those things and bring a lot of people from around the country in and, you know, add more to the events. But so far I haven't been able to get the board to say, let's sit down and decide how much money we're willing to put into the existing facility, whether we patch it for a couple of years while we put money away to build a new one. If we're going to build a new one, then where's that money coming from? And then if we figure out where the money's coming from, how much money are we going to put into it? You know, we need to know the size of it so we know that, you know, all the events can be there. Now, a lot of places, especially nowadays, have RV parks built into it, you know, where people just traveling through can go in. So you have those kind of separate. Obviously, you can have a gateway in if people, you know, when you have the big fairs and the big rodeos, you know, because a lot of people travel by RVs now, so they can, you know, take advantage of events by not having to pay, you know, hotel rooms and that sort of thing. And they've got all the amenities they need. And especially people who are traveling, say it's for car racing or the rodeos. They can bring their little trailers with them and keep them right there on site, and they're right next to where the track is or the rodeo is, so they're real close to getting their things done. And that brings in additional revenue, which will, you know, generate better things for the, you know, the fair as a whole. Mm-hmm. I think we're, the numbers they've shown so far of how many employees they want, I don't think is really realistic that that's going to be something that can handle it. They're still thinking volunteers can do it. And I was a little hesitant too, because they were talking about, well, you know, we have people who have put these events on the past, and they want to, you know, take the facility and do it. And I said, well, that's not why we took it over. We took it over because those people have been using that in the past and hadn't keeping things up and hadn't put any money back into the fairgrounds. If we're going to do something, then the county runs it. County gets the money, the county uses that to continue to improve the fairgrounds facility as a whole. But until, at least in my opinion, until we sit down and decide what our priorities are and how we're going to get the money, you know, once we make a decision, then we go forward and we can tell the people. Right now, to me, we're just continuing the way it was in the past. I don't think that's what the people want.
I'm a little surprised at the part where you mentioned volunteers could run the fairgrounds. Volunteers are only as good as the time they have available, number one, and they're only as good as the organization plan for volunteers that there is structured within the organization. And plus, you have Steve Latosky, who's tasked with running the fairgrounds now, is that right?
Yes, well, it's under Latosky, and then it goes to the parks director, and then they're going to hire somebody and through the parks department. I think that's way too many layers. I think the board needs to have somebody that's reporting to them or reporting to the managers, because we're going to be the ones getting the calls, you know, hey, this isn't going right, you know, the parking's terrible, it costs too much money. You know, when you put too many buffers in between the people that should be making the decisions, I think you have a problem.
Well, that's a problem with big government in general right there. So, yeah, I would tend to agree with you. That is too many layers. It needs to be a direct report to the supervisors. But the organizational skills that Latosky brings to the table are pretty good at the same time. He's a really good public works director.
No, he is. He's an excellent public works director. But I think, you know, the fairgrounds, I'm guessing now that that is a an enterprise all of its own.
Yes.
I mean, there are people who, you know, go from, I was the manager of the LA County Fair, and now they've been hired by Phoenix to do their, Maricopa to do theirs. They know exactly what it takes. It's like getting a county manager. You know, he can go to any county and know what to do. When you try to do it in-house, you're just guessing. I mean, you can look on the internet and say, oh, look, they have quilting shows. Okay, let's try to do that. But these guys need to be well versed in what it takes to make a total package, you know, because it's not just a rodeo, it's not just a, you know, racetracks, you know. There's a lot of things that go into it, and a lot of things that are huge events, you know, whether it be a antique show or, I mean, like I go back to gun shows. Gun shows are big.
Right.
And they bring in a lot of revenue, and they bring in a lot of people to the county, and if you have that availability of places for them, you know, especially with gun shows or traveling, people with antiques or whatever they're doing, or mm-hmm. then they do their motorhomes, and if you have a place where there's a availability of them to plug in and stay right at the facility, I think it'll be a real success. But I think we have to have somebody at the head of it that knows what they're doing and has a past history where they can show us that, hey, this is what I did here. I'm going to move to your county, and I'm going to make you really good, and then I'm going to go on to a bigger county. So that kind of, that would be a nice addition to have.
So now I'm talking a ways down the road here, and I know this, there may not even be an answer to this question, but would the county or county supervisors be open to looking at the fairground site itself and maybe doing a little renovation as far as parking goes, or reorganizing that kind of, because parking in that neighborhood sometimes makes for a long walk to the gate for some people who may not be able to make that walk.
Hopefully, Mr. Latosky can figure a parking plan out that'll, you know, make that a lot easier for people. But I think he's really limited by the way it's designed now. And that's where it gets back to how much money are we willing to put into the fairgrounds if we're going to move it. If we're not going to move it, then you know, we can put a lot of money into it and try to make it the best we can, but I think it's outgrown its usefulness in that location. And I know if I was the people that lived around there, I would have thought it outgrew its usefulness a long time ago.
Right. It almost seems like the neighborhood has enveloped the fairgrounds, to where in the past, say 10, 15 years ago, it wasn't really a consideration, and now it's all developed around there, right?
Right. And I think that piece of land is a valuable piece of land, you know, for development, you know, and so I think we could make some money on that to put into the new fairgrounds, you know, so it wouldn't be a total wash, depending how much money we have to put in because they haven't kept up with ADA requirements. They haven't come up with the restrooms. We've got parts of it that are shut down because of safety hazards. We already had to go in and spend money on electrical just so people wouldn't get shocked. And, you know, things that you think would have been taken care of by the people that ran it, but their idea was, oh, just block that off, you know. Nobody can go there now anymore. I mean, I've heard some of the viewing stands have been shut down, you know, because they just aren't safe and, you know, railing requirements and that sort of thing.
Sure. Well, not only that, you had a fairgrounds curator or director, I don't know what his title was, but couldn't even turn in financial reports on time. So what did we expect, correct?
Well, that's correct, and, you know, part of that is the county's fault. You know, the county should have been, you know, we had those in the contract that those things are supposed to come in, and you probably noticed there's been quite a few times when I brought up to the board saying, you know, we have a contract with these different people. Where are the reports, you know? Oh, they're late coming in. Oh, we forgot to get them. Nobody's looked at them. The county has a pretty lackadaisical attitude on some things that, you know, especially with buildings that we have. I mean, like when I took over, you know, remember we had the sheriff's department, they were living in a condemned building.
Right.
You know, we still, and it seems like every building we get done with needs to be torn down. You know, we don't have a good plan in place to keep our village in shape. I mean, you go anywhere else and they go, oh yeah, this is the courthouse. It was built in 1892 and we're still using it. You know, here we go. No, we just build them and tear them down. It's only taxpayer money.
That's a really good point, because in other counties, those old buildings may become annexes, right, for storage or materials, that. But we tear them down?
Yeah, well, because they're not worth keeping. I mean, we do have a couple, you know, they have the historical society people. They always want to come in and make something a historical building, but it's such a piece of junk. It's like it costs you so much money to fix it back up, and then nobody's going to want to come and see it because it was a piece of junk to begin with, so.
Oh, okay. Let's go ahead and move on to Horizon 6, or they're called Donkey Acres here in Lake Havasu City. They're getting, from what I understand, funding was approved for a new water system. Is that right?
Yes. I used we divided the COVID money up into the five districts. That's where they decided they wanted to do it. And so in my district where Horizon 6 is at, I'm using that money to update and fix the water system out there so that, you know, we got a good, reliable water source going in. Hopefully we'll be able to take care of the fire hydrant issues and those things at the same time. So, and we're going out. I think we're going to have to bid here real quick.
Oh, really? Yeah, you had a lot of pressure issues, too, and there was, something circulating as far as the petition goes with the residents out there?
We had a petition going for a few years and weren't able to get the signatures from the people because it is an improvement district. And so they could incur the expenses themselves to get that done. And they just couldn't get their signatures to get it moving ahead. You know, like a lot of things, you know, especially in the Havasu area, we're still basically a upstart. You know, we weren't here, you know, that many years ago till Mr. McCullough came and decided that he would, you know, make us a place for people to live.
Right.
And Horizon 6 was actually there before Havasu. And so the system they put in was put in for water delivery. It wasn't put in for, even though the fire hydrants were out there, for fire flow. And if it was, the fire flow issues or requirements have changed over the years. So the size, the diameter, the pressure, it all has to be redone. So this will give a new lease on life and, you know, should be an added attraction for the Lake Havasu City and the area down here.
Right. What's the timeline as far as the bid process is concerned?
Yeah, that's a question now because, you know, we're having a hard time, like everybody else, getting bids because everybody's so busy with the boom that's going on. So it'll have to be somebody, let's say it has to, but I'm guessing it'll be somebody from out of county that comes in to do it. So I really couldn't guess on that.
Right, right. Let's talk about, finally, we have about 3 minutes left, those people that were overtaxed in the Lake Havasu Unified School District, that tax issue where the tax bills came out and people got a little sticker shock, if you will. What remedy do they have? How can they get refunds? Or do they just wait for this to be taken care of? And what's the timeline on that?
Well, that's going on right now. If somebody got a bill and you know, we sent out the new bills to them to, you know, so that, and then told them if they'd already paid it, they can request to get the difference sent back to them. And then on this agenda, I've placed an item to waive the fee because we had a fee before. If, you know, if it was your mistake, then we charge you money because we love to charge money.
Okay.
And, so we'll waive that fee. You know, hopefully the board will do it. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't, because it was our fault. But yeah, right now, if they have a problem, they can just call the treasurer's office and, set it up to get their payment back.
How does that affect those people that have their property taxes automatically calculated into their homeowner's payment?
The mortgage companies were contacted immediately, and there shouldn't be any problem with those at all.
Okay, makes sense. Buster, thanks so much for joining us. And if Sarah's listening, Sarah Hall, your assistant, great job as always. I contacted her late Friday, and I'm telling you, Buster, it was like 10 minutes later she was on it.
Well, good for her.
10 minutes later, she confirmed that you were going to be on the show, and I'm like, whoo, I could sleep this weekend, right?
Yeah.
All right, we got some Patsy Cline going out. Again, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
On Speak Out and making yourself available to our listeners.
Anytime.
All right, thanks, Buster. All right, we'll be back with more in a moment. I got a little community calendar to give you and an employment opportunity from the Lake Havasu Unified School District. Stay with us. I'm Paul Lavoie.
How can I be just your friend?
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening.
All right, there's one for our karate man, Sean Hannity, coming up next on 106.3, the voice of the free after Fox News and a short break. An employment opportunity I wanted to tell you about is from the Lake Havasu Unified School District. They're looking for reliable, hardworking community members to safely transport students. There are currently 3 full-time bus driver openings and 3 activity driver openings. So 6 positions right there. No CDL, no problem. On-the-job training is provided to meet all licensing requirements. Full-time positions include benefits and retirement. Give Bobby Kearns a call. That's K-E-I-R-N-S, Bobby Kearns, at 928-505-6960. 928-505-6960. And we have that number here at the station. The 50th anniversary gala dinner hosted by Mayor Cal Sheehy under the London Bridge. All proceeds go to the Havasu Museum of History. That's this Saturday, October 30th, 5:30 p.m. You're going to want to get a reservation. It's $50 per person. And there's cocktails, traditional British fare, dinner, roast beef, and Yorkshire pudding along with fireworks. There you go. That's the plural part. All right. Go to the Havasu Chamber to purchase a ticket or to make a reservation. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we've got Mayor Cal Sheehy and one of the council members. Join us then on Speak Out every day, all year round, at 11 a.m. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.